All right, 503-250-TENETTI in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. And these things always start with something. You know what the common thread of all these stories is? The phrase, well, it seemed like a good idea at the time. Like this one, Rick. At around 8 years old, I was cleaning my shoes with a big knife. See right there. It's like you can spot pretty early on exactly where the plan goes awry. Because they always say, well, the best laid plans. Here's the thing, is sometimes the plans aren't that well laid.
Why does one clean their shoes with a knife?
Because you're just longing to maim yourself somehow, I guess. How can I increase the risk of serious injury while cleaning my kids? Yeah, so the best laid plans of mice and men often go astray, but often really shoddily ill-conceived plans. They don't work out so well themselves sometimes. Yeah, I was cleaning my shoes with a big knife. Somehow, like maybe the fact that you were 8 and the knife was huge, somehow it slipped and stuck clear through the palm of my hand. Oh, no. Going out Jesus style. Top scar still visible. All right. Why does there need to be another movie about Jesus? Does anybody...
Well, talk. I mean, there's this whole thing...
This thing, because there's all this business with Mel Gibson's new movie, The Passion of... I think it's called The Passion of the Christ. You know, Christ is a noun. I think it's called The Passion of the Christ, unless they've modified it. Because it's like with my grandmother talking about coming over for... the Christmas. But I think we're people, I mean, I don't understand where Catholics or like anyone anywhere clamoring for another story about isn't this kind of like the Titanic where we all kind of know what happens at the end? I mean, at least the Titanic benefited from having like a fictitious romance that they made up to sort of goose the story along until the thing hit the iceberg. I mean, we're all kind of privy to the whole deal with Christ, and they don't show the resurrection as far as I know. It's just the sitting there and then the trudging and the walking and the falling and the whipping and the hey ow ow not the other one and the I'll never play the piano again and then that's it and then it's over and then we all go home and we're depressed and we wonder why we spent $14 or whatever for a movie that's in Aramaic. And that's another thing. What are you thinking with that? What, I know I'll release a film that's in Latin and Aramaic. Everyone will want to see it. And I'll have a blue-eyed Jesus. Well, that part probably will. You know who will go see it? People who will listen to the no heavy metal, no hip-hop station. But there's a blue-eyed Jesus. I'm there. Jesus is a white man with blue eyes. I can't wait to see it. All right. It's 503-250-TENETTI in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. We'll talk more about that. We got Tony we're going to get to here in a moment. We got these horrific injury stories that keep coming in. We got all this entertainment news to get to as well, including more evidence that... See, because I've always said she was a lesbian. I mean, I haven't copped to it yet, but I've always said she was. And so there's a bigger piece of evidence. We'll read that later on. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. This is Tim Riley. He's in the KFTK newsroom.
And now... It's not just news. It's news with Tim Riley. Live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
A man has pled guilty to theft for stuffing $73 worth of drip down his pants at the grocery store, then running without paying for them. Johnny Rodriguez of Bethlehem Township of Pennsylvania pleading guilty. According to the records, Rodriguez was at Heights Market when a worker allegedly noticed he had his pants undone and there was something sticking out of them. A worker approached Rodriguez.
Great beginning to any story. I don't care how it ends. That's a fantastic start to a story.
Well, the worker approaches Rodriguez, who began removing bags of shrimp from his pants, but when ordered to stay where he was until police arrived, he ran away. Authorities said he made off with 4 bags of shrimp.
If you can get $73... Is shrimp all that expensive? I mean, it's not like gold or anything.
It's like $15 a pound for prawns.
Yeah, but $15 is one, two, that's 5 pounds. If you can get $75 worth of shrimp into your pants, I mean, either you're really understaffed in the manhood department or you're just more talented than I am, which means that, I mean, either way, you get my vote of sympathy. You know what? There ought to be, like, especially because who wants it then? You know, it's like that's... I mean, it's one thing if you're getting day-old bread. It's another thing if you're getting something that's been down Jaime Rodriguez's pants. Why is the shrimp so inexpensive? Well, it's been marinating in a guy's pants. You know, it's stored next to a guy's scrotum. That's not anything you want a part of. Yeah, they ought to just give that guy that.
I think so. NBC is expected to make some big bucks thanks to six of their friends. The New York Daily News reporting advertisers will spend up to $2 million to air a 30-second commercial during the final episode as we say goodbye to Friends. The Peacock Network stands to gain $70 million in profit and advertising sales for the final episode, May 6th. Now, there may be some rules against showing people having too much sex on TV, but animals are a different story. At least that's what the folks at Fox are banking on. TV Guide said the network is giving a thumbs up to National Geographic's When Animals Attract. An hour-long reality special that'll allow you to get up close and personal while animals engage in mating rituals.
Okay, this is a show no one, the occasional furry aside or whatever, no one wants to watch this. And I think I speak for everybody here. Maybe not, but I think I do. When I say that I actually get really awkwardly uncomfortable watching animals hump it out on television. You know, like, even more so than, you know, it's like, because I got, you know, whenever I got the satellite, you know, the satellite TV. And so I got, you know, a couple hundred channels. And it's like you flip through and at any moment there's cable porn on. You know, the Skinamax is going there with the, you know, whatever, like a Playmate of the Apes or something. It's, you know, just watching a bunch of, you know, bad, you know, porn going on. But it's like, that's so much less awkward than watching animal sex. Watching animal sex makes me feel all, yeah, because they always use like the really clinical, like at least with porn you've just got the, you know, got the hot chick and the, you know, whatever, the soft focus lens and they're humping it out. But you watch the animal sex, the leader of the pride mounts the female from behind. You know, and it's just like so clinical you know, it just makes it seem really gross.
They're behaving like animals.
Yeah, I don't want to watch that.
Next news, when it happens, I'm Tim Riley.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. Yeah, there's so much porn, and it's like at any given moment, like I'll just come home, you know, and it's like the porn is just on Showtime or Cinemax, and it's just because it's just, you know, you can't avoid it. And, you know, eventually you just got to give into it and watch it. It's just there. It's meant to be watched. You know, we ought to, because the best thing about the, I don't want to get into the whole thing about porn here. We'll save that for another time. But the best thing, you know, about porn is, especially cable porn, is the dialogue. I mean, it's just genius. It's just, it was some cable porn, I forget what it was called, but I was watching it last week, and it was all like a girl in a hot tub with a woman who used to be her Spanish teacher, you know? And it was, when I was at school, I really thought you were hot when you taught my Spanish class. You know, the teacher's like, well, I really thought you were hot, too. You know, and then at some point it evolves where it's like the girl has to pass a Spanish test, you know, even though she's a fully grown woman, and if she passes the Spanish test, then the teacher will, like, get it on with her in a hot tub. You know, and so, then the words are like, besos, you know, and it's just, it's the worst show. So I'll bring some of that.
Caliente.
Yeah, that was creepy. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. What am I doing here? We're gonna get the Norm and John here in a second. Let's see. Oh, I've just hung up on someone. Hey, if you're the guy I just hung up on, I'm sorry. I just did it. I shouldn't be allowed near the phone. Here's Tony. You're on Hot Talk 1080 KFTK. What's up?
Oh, hey. Well, speaking of the pain of Catholicism, like you just were. This was I was about 12 years old. And I'm attending CCD class, which is kind of like Catholic night school for heathen children.
That's like if you want to become Catholic because you're getting married or something, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm a little kid. I hated going. And so I'm always trying to get out. And so I want to go get a drink of water. They let me out. I'm walking down the hall, just kind of running my hand along the wall as I very slowly walk to the drinking fountain. And I hear this kind of snap noise. And I look at my hand, and underneath the middle fingernail of my right hand, I see about an inch and a half shard of wood that is lodged underneath my fingernail, all the way through the fingernail, you know, almost to the first knuckle. And so, it's like this inch and a half shard of wood isn't sticking out an inch and a half. It's sticking out about a quarter inch. And I can see the bulge of the shard on the skin of my finger past where my cuticle is. And my fingernails pried up, and like there's air in between my finger and my nail.
Anything under your fingernail is like the worst thing on earth.
Yeah, I just stood there like an idiot. I didn't even know what to do.
There's
it
no
didn't hurt yet. It was just horrific to look at.
There's no... Well, that's the thing is it never hurts right away. It's always kind of... For the first few minutes, it's really just interesting. You know?
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
Look at that. Especially if you're a kid, and especially if you're a little boy, you're like, dude, check this out. You know? And it's... What's happened? Oh, I put an ice pick into my hand, you know, and it doesn't hurt like right away. There was a sequence on, I think it was Twin Peaks. There was a scene on Twin Peaks where there was like, it was Laura Palmer, I guess, and it was like she had like a typewriter, like a letter underneath one of her fingernails. You know what I'm talking about? Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
Sarah Dillon, Twin Peaks historian in the house?
Yes, actually all of the murder victims have.
And they show, like, the tweezers, like, going underneath the finger. And I remember watching Twin, and I only watched it, like, once, you know. I watched the tiniest bit of it and then was able to extrapolate from that the rest of it was bad. Anyway.
I don't make fun of your taste and stuff.
No, I'm just saying. I knew it was something that, I knew it was something I wouldn't want to watch from that small little piece. I'm watching it. Anyway, so I tune in though, and they're doing that thing where they're shoving the tweezers under the fingernail, and she's dead, of course. But I'm still at home going, you know, just totally like not. Yeah, it was a bad scene. All right, that's Tony in Portland. Yeah, you don't want to do that. That's, you don't want to screw with that. It's a bad. My friends were all really into Twin Peaks. They did the whole thing where they got donuts and cherry pie.
Can I tell you what Justin and I are doing for Valentine's Day?
I don't know. Does it involve,
No, it's the dorkiest thing ever, so.
Yeah, it's saying something. Look who you're talking to. What?
Yeah. We're going to go stay at the hotel that was the Great Northern for Twin Peaks.
Well, that's pretty cool. No, that's well. No, when I was
gonna go see all, we're gonna go around North Bend and see all the sights and everything.
No, when I was in New York, I don't know if I ever gave you the list of all the pop culture things that I saw of all the places I went to. I got my picture taken in front of the Station House that was the Ghostbusters building, not the one where Sigourney Weaver lived, but the one that where they worked. You know. It's a fire department.
The actual firehouse.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really go in because it's like an actual firehouse. But I mean, I got my picture taken in front of that. I saw the church steps. I saw the church from the Godfather, the first Godfather movie, you know, the baptism church. The Jeffersons building. You can see the building where the Jeffersons lived. We didn't get a chance to see the All in the Family house. But there's the Different Strokes building you can see. There's a whole bunch of Godfather stuff you can see, actually. And there's all that stuff. I got my picture taken in front of the lake in Central Park where William and Penny are walking towards the end of Almost Famous right after she overdoses. It's just like a tool. Just a whole list of, I'm going to go to this place where they film this five seconds of a movie.
So did you stand there by yourself in the picture as she's tortured to take all these pictures?
Yeah, I know. I'm lame. What are you going to do? I'm on this quest to get my picture taken to replicate. You know what it is? I'm on this quest to recreate the entire Almost Famous movie, like getting my picture taken in all those places. Because I've already got my picture taken at the backstage door where he stands for like an hour trying to get in until the Band-Aids get him in. I totally got at the bottom of the ramp. I totally got my picture taken there because I'm a big tool. Here's a great email. It's just titled, Cutting My Nose Off. I'll make you wait for that one. We're going to get to John in a moment. Norm is a first-time
yes.
caller and a full-time listener. What's up, brother man?
Hey, how you doing? I was wondering if you knew where the actual picture of Jesus came from, the blue-eyed Jesus.
Which one?
Well, the one that's, like, infamous with the Catholic Church and the one you always see on pictures and stuff.
Like the I don't know. I think there's a lot of them that are sort of really famous. There's, like, you know, the Last Supper, and then there's the one where one where he's sort of looking up into the sky, like, you know, like Luke looking at the two sons, you know. Just,
right.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's, I don't know if it's, you know, somebody notable or if it's just got photocopied a lot. I don't know.
No, well, I used to be a pastor. What I heard is the actual picture came from the Last Supper,
yeah.
And I believe it's Michelangelo who painted it. And from what the story goes, it says he hired a homeless man to model for him, some street guy that was
right.
down the road from where he's painted.
Right.
And if you actually look at the picture, the cool thing is the same guy who posed as Jesus also posed, I believe, as Judas and two other guys.
That's completely great. How great is that? Is that true?
Yeah, that's a true story.
I don't even care if it's true. That's going to be my new thing that I believe from now on. That's brilliant. It's so genius, I don't want to know if it's a myth.
Yeah, look at the Last Supper, look at real close, the original painting, and you'll notice that there's like three of the same guys, and Jesus is standing there with his hands out. Hilarious.
That's when he's doing what Eddie Izzard calls the big arms pose. Yeah, that is fantastic. That's like that thing about Da Vinci or whatever. Who is it that did Mona Lisa? That it's a self-portrait or something?
It's a self-portrait.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's freaky. That's great stuff. That's the best call we've ever gotten. Were you a Catholic priest?
No. I was a youth minister. I was Pentecostal. I spent 2 years in seminary. And the reason I left is because during the last years of your seminary, you start taking these classes on how to correctly motivate people to give money to the church.
Yeah.
And I was like, I gotta go.
Yeah, you didn't make you handle snakes, did they?
No, I didn't jump around like that.
No, because some of the there's Pentecostals that are normal, and then some of them are just whack jobs.
Yeah, there is some flame in the spirit, if you want to call it.
Yeah, my brother's one of those. One of my brothers is like a born again guy, you know, one of those guys that found God at the bottom of the crack vial, you know, and he's just like as insane as they come, and he's, you know, it's like you can't. He's totally one of those guys that you know he's going to end up sacrificing his kid on a rock one of these days because God told him to do it. So yeah, I'm glad you're not nutty. Hey, how'd you discover the show here, Norm?
Oh no, I deliver a bottle of water, so I listen to you all the time.
You used to deliver the word of Christ. Now you deliver, water. All right.
Yeah.
Excellent. There you go. That's I was going to make, there was some water to wine joke there, but I couldn't get to it. That's Norm in Portland. That's the best story I've ever heard. About Jesus also being Judas. How great is that? I don't even care if that's real. That's so good. If it's not true, it ought to be. Yeah. All right, what's also good is this next call. It says, impaled while parachuting. Come on, you can't take anything away from that. I love this show. This is the best. Goddamn, we rule. We kick ass. Just shut up, everybody who's not us. In your face. All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. Other stations can have, you know, ratings, success. I'll take this any day. Yeah, other stations can make money, pay decent salaries. We're still better. That's what I'm talking about. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Here's Cold Cut.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Yeah! All right, Sarah's got the traffic.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
225, I'm Tim Riley. This news brought to you by Home Depot. Have your kitchen cabinets installed by licensed and insured professionals through the Home Depot at-home services. Stop by your local store today for a free in-home consultation. The Home Depot at-home services, installation you can trust. Well, if you love the first season of The Newlyweds, you won't want to miss the season opener of a brand new second round of the reality series tonight. Nick and Jessica sat down with me recently and we chatted. Nick talked about why he and Jessica decided to do the show.
I mean, I think it was just a unique opportunity from, you know, from a network who's been more than generous to us, and a unique opportunity to kind of let our fans get a different look inside of our lives and careers, because, you know, in a reality show, it's really covering everything from mm-hmm. our home life, our relationship, to, you know, our professional life and what we do for a living. And, you know, just a unique, a different opportunity to kind of show our fans what we're about.
Why don't you continue dating and put marriage on hold?
You know, you can live the rest of your life dating around, and, I mean, I think anyone will tell you that at some point is going to get old, you know what I mean? When you find something that's special and you have the, you know, the smarts to know that you've got something good, you don't screw it up and blow it, you know what I mean? You hold on to it. That's what's special about us.
He's a smart young man. It was supposed to be mostly sunny this afternoon, but that's pretty much gone bust. Tonight, mostly clear and some fog after midnight. Lows in the low to mid-30s. Tomorrow, cloudy, chance of rain in the afternoon. Tim Riley, KOTK News.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
I'm curious, listen to the sorts of things you've learned today on this program. You've learned all about the, well, you know, what not to do with nail guns. I mean, presumably some of us knew that sort of thing already, but you learn that there's some Twin Peaks thing you can go see. Where is it at?
Oh, it was shot in Snoqualmie in North Bend.
There you go. So there's a Twin Peaks tour. Who knew? You learned that a homeless guy played both Jesus and Judas Iscariot. So, you know, it's, you know, we're all learning together here. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Because pimping goes both ways here. I want to thank Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine. She did a big, totally hoard out and pimped bigger than Jesus on her website at barflymag.com. We're going to do the same for her coming up, what is it, Friday?
It's Saturday.
Saturday. Coming up Saturday, presuming you're not going to bigger than Jesus, which really should be your first priority in every conceivable sense. But, I mean, if you've already seen it, or, you know, it's, whatever. If you know, you're not.
If you haven't
able to
seen it twice, you can't listen to the next announcement.
Yeah, but the Barfly Magazine strip club tour Well, you know all about it, Sarah.
Oh, yeah, I went on it last time.
So what is the deal?
It's the Stripperama bus, and what we did last time is you meet in an undisclosed location, and then from 7 o'clock at night till 1 o'clock in the morning, you hump off this bus, and she takes you all around the city. We went to, like, 12 strip clubs.
Which ones did you go to?
Oh, God, we went to
I was drunk.
Portland. Yeah. Exotica, God, every place that you could ever think of, like Docks. We went to Cocktails and Dreams.
Yeah.
A bunch of them in North Portland. With like, oh, I can't remember. The Dancing Bear.
Oh, Dancing Bear.
That's the Mary's Club. Yeah.
I think Dancing Bear that's really the first one I ever went to here in Portland. When I was like 18 or 19. I was here for a concert or something, and I was just, I think I went to Dancing Bear. I think it was it out by the racetrack or something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was a great variety. Like, you go to the really classy places. We went to the Backdoor Swing or something. Oh, my God. Which is just, like, a room and very old, saggy dancers. And
okay.
It was great.
So, who can say no to that?
No, but
no,
it's cool, though. Class as well, yeah. And it's just a bunch of...
Well, that's cool. It's just a bunch of old
people.
Yeah,
of, like, drunk people and everyone. You're meeting all these new people, having a lot of fun.
If you're on the bus, you don't have to pay any covers going into any
of the
bars.
No, not at all.
It's all calm.
And some of them are free appetizers and drink specials.
So if you want to go on that, and I mean, and Sarah had a great time, you can go to barflymag.com, BARFLYMAG, barflymag.com, and sometime between... Now and the end of the show, we'll give away a pair of tickets then, actually. We've got a pair of tickets. So if you want to go to that, and why wouldn't you? It's barflymag.com. So we'll talk about that in an interview. Rick, this is because of Sarah's dorkdom going to see the Twin Peaks thing and all my stuff of going to, you know, in front of the Corleone Church or whatever. Rick, during my first trip to D.C. last summer, my friend took me to the stairs where they filmed the end of, you know it, The Exorcist. The movie, you know, there's that stair, the Georgetown stairs, when it falls down, where Father Karras falls down the stairs. And we got informed. Some of you longtime listeners know what that means. Be careful, because steep steps combined with getting informed could make it very easy to repeat the final scene, signed often informed Jason in Portland. There you go. So, yeah, it was a bit, okay. All right. I'm so behind. Okay, I got all the, we got all these emails. Okay, I'm going to read this one more, and then I got other stuff. We'll continue to take calls and stuff, but I haven't read the chunk out of ass email, so we'll read that, and then I got...
And the nose one.
I know, they cut my nose off it. So difficult. Chunk out of ass. Rick, I used to work in a shop where everyone carried guns for protection. See, it's like you can just see the setup. It's just like a Chekhov play, you know what? You can just see it all coming, like in the first act. My boss thought it was cool to shove his .45 into the back of his pants instead of using a holster. He called everyone into his office for a meeting once, and when he sat his big ass down behind the desk, you guessed it, he blew a huge chunk out of his ass. His ass. Not the desk, Rick. The ass. It was funny as hell. F. Matt with a skewered pork sword.
This F. Matt could be sponsored by your business.
Very well done. That's Mike. In a little while here, we'll read the one subject line, cutting my nose off. We'll get to that. Cause it's what we do here, quite frankly. Here's another one. Pitchfork accident. See, you know, a whole book. There ought to just be a whole book of injuries, you know? There ought to be a book. You would totally be able to sell that to guys. A book just called Bad, Terrible Injuries.
You'd have to have pictures.
Yeah, well, that's what Rotten.com is for, you know what I mean? Just a whole thing just called, you know, shooting myself in the scrotum, you know, or whatever. That would be the whole thing. That's what I'm talking about. It's like that, the thing what you do. All right. So we're going to get to this big pile of stuff here now that we have no time. This is from the New York Post, by the way. Sarah got this. Sarah's a big New York Post aficionado. It's from page 6. Now, you know, and I've speculated about this for a long time, by the way. You know, whatever. You know, whatever anybody wants to do. Whatever your pleasure. But January 21st, fans of Nev Campbell and those who just appreciate sapphic sex, that's code for girls getting it on, we'll be lining up for director James Toback's upcoming When Will I Be Loved film. James Toback is the guy, he did Two Girls and a Guy with Robert Downey Jr., and he did Black and White that had Mike Tyson in it for some reason. The flick features a girl-on-girl scene between Nev Campbell and Joelle Carter, who's unknown to me, that Toback calls the most beautiful and tastefully erotic lesbian scene I've ever seen. Totally designed by the actresses themselves, without direction. Which means that Nev Campbell herself co-directed the lesbian scene. So draw your own conclusions from there. He tells Gay City News, In 5 years, I could not have come up with a scene as appealing as the one they came up with. And see, it's like every time I see... First of all, because when she was on Party of Five, didn't Neve Campbell have a whole plot where she was getting it on with some teacher or something? Totally doing the hot lesbian kissing and whatnot. And then she's always... It seems like she's always wearing flannel. It's like every time I see Neve Campbell, she's all butched out. Which is, you know, and it totally works for her. And it works... I mean, she doesn't look butch as such. But it's like, you know what it is? It's like when you go to that Indigo Girls concert, you know, and it's like the, you know, and there's some of the girls there who look really butch, and there's some that are really feminine, and then there's some that are like this hybrid of the two, where it's like hot chicks in flannel with sort of saggy pants, you know, and that's, I mean, that's kind of what Neve Campbell strikes me as, so I'll be seeing that. All right, so there you go. So that's from the New York Post. What else do we have? I mean, all this crap we wanted to get to, because I'm running behind with all this. Let's see. Harrison Ford has spent... Did you see this? Harrison Ford is spending $118 million to get rid of his ex-wife, which is Melissa Matheson, who I thought he was divorced from like 10 years ago. I mean, I thought because he's been boinking Calista Flockhart forever. Oh, and don't you hate it when like, you flip it around and you see somebody that you despise and they're doing, like, a great job in something and then you have to revise your whole opinion of them and you're not really allowed to hate them, like, full force anymore? So this great play this weekend, it was a filmed play, it was on IFC or something, it was called Bash, but it's by Neil LaBute, the guy that did In the Company of Man, Your Friends and Neighbors, Nurse Betty. But it was three plays all done, but Calista Flockhart was in them, and she was really good, and then it's like, I'm never allowed to, like, completely hate her again. I always have to go, well, like, she was good in that one thing. Anyway, so Harrison Ford's divorce settlement with E.T. screenwriter Melissa Matheson is $118 million. Like, what could you possibly do? How good could you possibly be in bed? How great could your omelets be? You know, how well could you vacuum a floor that you need $118 million? Especially if you wrote goddamn E.T. Don't you think, like, you should be, like, the judge should just look at it and go, is it true that you co-wrote E.T. or that you wrote E.T.? Yes. Okay, you get nothing. Next. You know what I mean? It's like when Tom Cruise divorced, because you know what Nicole Kidman got? When Tom Cruise, and I'm not against, I'm not like a lot of guys, I'm not against the idea of alimony in general. You know, sometimes it's okay, but it's like anything else. Sometimes alimony makes sense and sometimes it doesn't. You know, if your wife, you know, busts her ass to put you through medical school and then as soon as you get your doctor's degree, you dump her and start banging at, you know, an 18-year-old. You know, I can see where, like, your wife, I'll get a little something for, you know, for putting you through school and for you being a dick. You know, that's fine. But, you know, when Tom Cruise broke up with Nicole Kidman, do you realize that she got It was $109, $109 million. $109 million. I mean, there's just no world in which that makes sense. There's no universe in which that's anything but just retarded. Anyway. The BBC points out that Ford's payout isn't a record when you consider inflation. With inflation, Steven Spielberg's settlement with Amy Irving is worth $148 million. Just think about that the next time you do it. You guys make a great couple. You should get married. I think, you know, if you want to get married, here's the thing. Because, you know, if you're Catholic, and I hope for your sake that you are not, but if you're Catholic, you know, they do that. We have to go through counseling, and they, you know, and Catholics, they don't suggest that you live together, but they suggest that, you try to, you know, act emotionally and so forth as though you're a married couple for a long time. I think if you're going to get married, I think you should, like, if you're a guy, and this is just honesty, you know what I mean? If you're a guy and you want to get married, I think that the test should, before the state lets you get married, if they're going to have any sort of rules about it, you know, if they're going to have rules, because they know that thing now, you know, they have a lot of rules in a lot of states where it's like you have to go through counseling and you have to meet with a minister or with a counselor of some kind. I think the state should say if you're going to get married, you ought to have to live on 30% of whatever your income is now for 6 months, you know, and see how, and at the end of that, if you still like it, you're still in love with the person, you could, you know. The state ought to just take away 70% of your income for 6 months. And at the end of that, if marriage still sounds like a great idea, then you go ahead and do it. If not, though, you just, you know, go pound it, man. All right. Well, do we have time for... I don't know. We're running behind here. Well, I'll read one more. Tim Allen will star in the picture In the Pink. This is from E! The movie centers on a man who teams up with several women to sell cosmetics door-to-door after he loses his white-collar job. You see, it's funny because he's a fish out of water. See? It's funny because he's a guy, but he's selling cosmetics. It's like the laziest way to write a screenplay. See, it's a guy, but he's doing something unexpected. He's a steel worker, but he's stripping to make money. He's a poor kid from a neighborhood, but he's taking tap dancing lessons. She's a girl who wants to dance, but she welds during the day. Aren't I clever? The answer is no, of course.
All right.
The other clue that you don't want to see, of course, is it starts Tim Allen. Tim Allen and Cher. Jesus, just stay at home and set fire to your billfold, man. We got the Casey on the way. More of your phone calls. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland and 1-800-727-5955. Like us up next, world famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. Rick, when you see Jen Lane again, this man says, give her a squeeze for me. I just got my Barfly t-shirt in the mail. It's way cool. How come there isn't a beer called Barfly in this town? Anyway, your show turned me into Barfly, so it all comes around. Thanks, Rick and Michael. No, Michael, thank you. Oh, God. Oh, that's a terrible story. Well, okay, we'll get to it in a second. We're going to get to Randy. A full-time listener, Casey, on Hot Talk Tonight. KFTK, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, Rick?
What do you got?
F Matt with Ecto One.
Excellent.
This F Matt
well
could be
done.
Sponsored by your business.
All right.
Couple things. One, Bigger Than Jesus is rocked. I went Saturday and just had a blast.
Excellent. Thank you. So, yeah, if people are interested in that.
Definitely huge plug for that. Everyone go check it out.
RickEmerson.com. All credit cards accepted 24/7.
Two, I was going through some stuff in my room and came across the article of you in the living section way back in 99.
Way back in the day. I'd forgotten all about that. Me with the... It's like
long,
I'm doing that...
Long hair.
And that pose like I'm stretching in the morning. You know, like I'm just getting out of bed. Yeah.
And the enthusiastic thumbs up. Anyway, going back to your injury story.
Yes.
Parents live on 6 acres out in the country, and when I was little, I was out in the far pasture playing, and my dad was using a large scythe to cut grass.
Uh-huh.
And you know, you're a little kid, so you want to sneak up and scare your dad. Well, I did that as the scythe was coming at me and took a scythe to the forehead.
Bam! Right there. Well, it's basically just a big piece of metal on the end of a big stick.
Pretty much.
But that's all it is. I mean, farms are great because farms are just full of things you can maim yourself on. You know, threshing machines, combines, log splitter, doesn't matter.
Doesn't George Carlin have a great comedy piece about you know, you're going to put your eye out, or you're going to get sick and all those like horrible things your parents told you to warn you about.
Probably.
Like,
I mean,
you know, kids are invisible or invincible.
Well, that's the thing is, it's like all that stuff that didn't injure me when I was a kid, man. I mean, you look back now, and it's like that stuff would just shatter me into. I'd die 10 times over if I tried to do any of that stuff now. So, no, I'm with you on that. That's Casey. In Portland, a full-time listener is Randy. What's up, man?
How you doing, Rick?
What do you got?
Well, when I was a little kid, you know, went bowling with my family, and those alleys where the bowling ball comes back in the alley and pops up that hole, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a big spinning wheel, so I want to reach in there and find what it feels like, and it pulls my fingernail off.
That is, you know, I mean, my friend Brian, who always seems to be the one who figures into these stories, did the thing where he wanted to know what, like, how the bowling ball came out. So he just stuck his head down into there. And, I mean, all that happened there is the ball came up and, like, moved and pinned his head between the wall and the ball for a second. And he wasn't all that bright to begin with, though. So, I mean, it's not like it could have really done anything to him. But at least he didn't lose a fingernail. That's all kinds of terrible.
No, it was hanging on by a hair
for a while. And then it just came off.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Let's never think about that. It's Randy in Portland. Yeah, let's never, ever think about that. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. And we got this. This is more of our entertainment news. We got this is Mariah Carey. And here's some lingo for you. Mariah Carey, who recently announced that she would be playing, wait for it, more intimate venues, surprised some of the music industry by singing for 10,000 chiropractors last weekend. The diva was the headliner at a convention for back specialists in Las Vegas, Were the other celebrity attractions included such stars as Mary Lou Henner, or Mary from Taxi? Oh, and the newly slimmed down Jerry Lewis. One industry expert says she's had some rough spots in her career lately, but playing for chiropractors, that pays pretty well. Which is followed by the news that Catherine Zeta-Jones, man, you talk about someone that undoubtedly everyone hates. You just know deep inside your soul that she's hated by everybody who's ever known her. You know what I mean? Doesn't matter. Everybody who's ever known Catherine Zeta-Jones hates her. You can just tell. You can just look at her. You can get the vibes. She's threatening to sue anybody who says she's on the Atkins diet. Apparently, her lawyer is sending out letters to people that if you claim she is on the Atkins diet, she will sue you.
For what?
Who knows, man? Who knows? You can just tell she's no good, though. You can just tell she's bad news just by looking at her. I mean, there really are things you can tell just by looking at somebody, and that's the thing you can spot with her right away. All right, we got more on the way. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. Stay there. We'll be back.
From Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick, what was the name of that new movie with Neve Campbell? When is it coming out? Tell me now. I listen to you every day at work and I had to leave my desk, so I missed out on some information, Tony. Hold on. I'll find it somewhere. Now entering, by the way, the saddest part of the broadcasting duty. Final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Ah, here we go. It's called When Will I Be Loved? And it's Neve Campbell getting it on with Joel Carter. Anybody know who that is?
Not a clue.
Not one. We'll find her real quick.
Hot girl-on-girl action. Sarah, let me ask you this. As a woman.
Yes.
As a girl. Do you just... I mean, living in American society in 2004, do you feel constantly pressured to have hot girl-on-girl action?
No.
No, I mean, not that, like, you know, we're trying to make you do it. I mean, we are. Is that like, hang over your head as a woman in America that guys are always trying to get you to, like, make out with another chick?
Not really, no.
Like, when you're...
it's not usually the guy who wants them to do it anyway. I mean, most of the girls I know that make out with other girls just do it because they want to.
Really?
Mm-hmm. God, oh, no. Yeah, all my friends, girls, guys... It's a strange world we're living in.
It really is. But, I mean, so, like, when you're at a bar, you're at a party or something, there's never, like, Sarah, you totally had to kiss her. It doesn't happen.
That happens.
What do you do?
But then
it doesn't happen. You just kind of say no?
Yeah. I'm done with that.
You're done with that? What do you mean, when were you starting with that?
Oh, college is a crazy time.
Well, you've never told us that.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, that's not fair. That's the least fair thing that's ever existed.
We could just repost those pictures of Kristen and Glory.
Okay, but... Okay, or you could share.
There's no sharing.
Give me a little something.
It's in the past. I'm a changed girl.
Everything's in the... The guy nailing himself to a box is in the past, dude. He shares. That guy who nail-gunned himself to a wall, that's in the past. He gives it up. That guy that boned one of his babysitters, that's in the past. But you know what? It's like when the subject comes up, it's a thing he brings to the table because it's what we do here. We share. Here. On the Rick Emerson Show. When we're talking to Sarah about college and...
College.
Oh, shit! I like the way you're gently caressing your... the way you're moving your zipper up and down, too, with your hand. Sarah's all, college. And she's like slowly unzipping and re-zipping her sweatshirt while we talk. What is that about over there?
Joel Carter.
Yeah.
Played Penny Hardwick in High Fidelity.
No.
Yeah.
He was cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had that whole, like, librarian thing going on with the glasses and the hair pulled out.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. No, I'm feeling that, as the young people say. What's today, Wednesday? Yes, coming up tomorrow, Jen Lane, who I will squeeze, because Michael wants me to do it. That's... Oh, should we do it today or tomorrow? Let's do it tomorrow when Jen's actually here. We'll give away tickets for the Barfly thing tomorrow. We'll do it when Jen's here. Because I only got like 10 seconds here. It's not going to be any time. Yeah, okay, so tomorrow, actually, we'll give away a pair of tickets in the Jen Lane with the Barfly Stripperama bus. Jen Lane from Barfly Mag will be here tomorrow to talk more about that. That's going to be tomorrow on the show. Plus more wacky shenanigans. We never got to the mobile tooth thing. Well, we got more. We'll get to it tomorrow. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. Make a note because we're back in 21 hours for the KFGK Noon News Hour. Like us next, followed by the world-famous Phil Hendry Show at the 7-5 by John and Jeff. We will see you tomorrow at noon. As always, the Rick Emerson Show is produced by the lovely Sarah Dillon for Hot Talk 1080 KFGK. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, executive producer, 1F Matt Peterson. Thank Ashton Kutcher, Nick Lachey, Jessica Simpson, Peter Jackson, David Letterman, Howard Dean, Richard Quest, Nick Nolte, et cetera, so on and so forth. As always, don't let the bastards grind it down. We'll see you tomorrow at noon. Be safe. Thanks, y'all. See you tomorrow. Bye.